This is the Auntie M Brain Tumors Talk Show. It's a show full of informative chat and inspirational messages. The Auntie M Brain Tumors Talk Show on podcast.
Hello, is that Garrett?
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
You
hear me? Yeah, I'm good. I'm really glad that you're going to talk about your story. Shall we go back? I know it was a long time ago, so I know that you're not going to remember every single part of it. What do you remember?
I remember it all started with having seizures. I had seizures. My arm would move uncontrollably, but they would be in private, so no one would ever see them happening. And then in the fourth grade cafeteria on pizza day, I had one of those grand mal seizures. Like, first thought it was a fainting spell. My mom took me to a doctor and they were like, oh, it's just a fainting spell. And they dismissed it. The same day I went to my mom's Christmas party for her job. And like the second we walked into the door, I had another grand mal seizure. And like, I woke up on these lined up chairs and I was confused as to like where I was and what was going on. I remember the ambulance ride. It was my first time in the ambulance. And I was super excited. I'm being a 9 year old. That's when they took me to the hospital and that's when I had an MRI. And then they told me that I had the brain tumor. I don't remember too much about them telling me about it because I went into this state where I just zoned out.
You wouldn't have known too much as to what a brain tumor was, would you? Who knows about a brain tumor when they're 9?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I wasn't fully sure what was happening. The only thing I wanted to know though was if I was going to die, because I knew that there was something wrong. I knew there was something wrong with my body. So am I going to die? Would be obvious question to ask. And they did tell me no, but they had to do procedures to figure out like exactly what kind of brain tumor it was. So they did my first surgery like a couple weeks later, I think, not even. And they just did, I guess it was a biopsy to see what kind of the type of tumor. And that's when I found out it was a ganglion glioma. And then from there, I had another surgery a couple months later. I think that was in August of that same year or of the next year. So of 2000 is when I had second surgery. And that's when I was paralyzed on my right side. I still had some of it left. They didn't remove the whole thing. I think there's still 5% remaining. Because if they removed the full thing, I would have been paralyzed from the neck down for the rest of my life.
Do you remember much about the surgery?
There are parts. I remember waking up with this pounding headache. I think this is before the surgery, actually. It might have been after the surgery. This might have been after the first one. I remember waking up with a pounding headache. And I felt like there was like a cage on my head. And I feel like you've had these 2 knots on the side of my head, like in my temples. And it was probably the worst headache I've ever felt in my entire life, even to this day, 24 years later. The second one is when I woke up and I was paralyzed and I had no idea that was going to happen. So I know both my parents were there and they were the ones that were like, this is what's happening. And they were like trying to keep me calm during it. But I don't remember too much after that. I know I went until I started to learn how to walk again. I was using like these, I had to hold on to these 2 poles so I can take 1 step at a time to relearn how to walk. I remember a pastor from the church I was going to, or that my grandma was going to, would always come and play video games with me. And there was a lot of like soccer video games we were playing and stuff. And he just kept me distracted and having fun. He didn't make it about being religious or anything like that. He was just there to be with someone that just went through something really traumatic.
Well, that's nice. You said you did some rehabilitation. Tell us about that.
After my surgery, I stopped having seizures.
Oh, great.
Until I was 20. And when I turned 20, I started to have them again. I was in college and I had it in like the bathroom of the theater in my college. Because I could always feel them coming. So when I feel them coming, I just like run away and go to wherever I can. It's really embarrassing having a seizure in front of people. And I've had plenty in front of people.
It can be embarrassing. You feel so vulnerable. And you just like, put me in a hole, hide me away. Yeah,
when I was really starting to have my seizures again, I had one of them in front of my ex. And when I was in the process of it, he laughed. It might have been like an uncomfortable thing or whatever be the case. But like he did laugh and make a joke afterwards because like during the seizure, I was trying to ask for some water.
Yeah. And you can't say it.
And
correctly.
He like And he was trying, he like made fun of that. And but like,
you're probably right. Stay with you. You're probably right that he didn't have a clue what to do with himself and just probably scared him a bit. Right. People deal with things so differently. The way you might deal if you saw someone having an epileptic fit would be so different to what someone else would do. They'd probably get their camera out and film. Mm-hmm. Whereas you would put your hands down and be right. like, hold on, hold their head and let them so they don't hit their head or something.
Right.
People just react so differently.
Make sure that their tongue is.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. From that time you were put onto medication, have you had no problems since you've been on them?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been on seizure medication to this day. I take it every morning. My last seizure was in 2013, and it was because I forgot to take my medicine that day. Mm-hmm. And I was working as a costume assistant backstage at a theater. And it was like middle of a performance. I had to do a quick change. And then I was like, oh, seizure's coming on. Got to run away. So I had the seizure in front of those cast members, actually. Yeah. And then, yeah, that was the last time I had a seizure. I never want to forget to take my medicine again because I never want to have a seizure.
Yeah. Oh, that must have been horrendous. The people that you're working with, have they been really understanding about the fact that you've had seizures?
For the most part, all throughout college, they were all really understanding, like my professors and everything. I did have an internship after I graduated college where they tried to fire me because I wasn't able to button somebody's top button on their shirt because of my right hand, because I'm still weak to this day. I don't really have any dexterity in my fingers. My wrist is really weak. And I don't really have too much control on my arm. So I just use it for balance and just for show. Yeah, they tried to fire me because I couldn't button that top button. And I remember like crying and being really angry. I texted my mom about it and I put up a fight because you can't just fire somebody because of a disability. I did stop because of those experiences that I had post-college.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I'm currently going to school for forestry and wildlife management too. So I'm getting another degree and another thing that I'm very passionate about. And I'm by means not giving up on theater, but where I am with my life and where I am with my self-discovery and viewing life differently and learning more about my brain surgery and how my brain functions because of my brain tumor, I'm shifting my focus a little bit so I can find a little bit more happiness in my life.
That's amazing that you're doing another degree, trying to learn something from scratch again. That's amazing. It can't be that easy for you at all. High five. I'd probably just give up on I'd give up the first one and say that didn't work and I'd find something completely different. But that sounds like a really amazing job to get into.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, I volunteer at the California Wildlife Center here. So I'm taking care of like hawks and owls and all these really cool species of animals. Yeah. And then I'm also an avid member of California Gay Adventures out here. So I'm always hiking and I'm always outdoors in nature and stuff. So that seems like it'd be the right path for me at this moment. And being pressured. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And people who are outdoors are happier people. Like people that you're around.
They sure are.
Yeah, like the people you're around are nice people because they're not all stressed as in buildings and just head down, writing, typing, whatever.
You always get a friendly good morning from your fellow hiker as you pass them by.
Yes. You said you've struggled with anxiety. Tell us a bit about counseling.
I feel like it's something that I should have been entrusted into at a much younger age. As a 9-year-old going through 2 brain surgeries, then being paralyzed. The fact that I wasn't in therapy is kind of jaw-dropping to me. Like I was in physical therapy and I was in occupational therapy, but where was my psychological therapy? So I feel like a lot of the life choices that I made may have been slightly different because I would have understood myself more and understood my brain more and how it works and how it functions, because my brain is different from everyone else's. My tumor is in the left frontal lobe. So with that, changes your personality a little bit. It can make you a little bit more impulsive. It can make you a little bit more emotional. And these are things that I didn't know until a year ago. And that's only because a therapist I had before this one was like, because I'm in therapy right now because I've been acting out a lot with anger mostly. And I think it's just because everything is coming to a head at this point in my life. And it's because I haven't really accepted what happened to me as a kid. Mm. And hearing someone say, maybe your brain tumor is causing your depression and causing your anxiety and causing these impulsive behaviors and outbursts because of where it is, of the location. I never really thought about that before. So it's really putting myself in this state of looking inward and trying to understand what that means. And it's a lot of work I still need to do and figure out. I really like my current therapist. She's been a big help with me understanding it and talking about it. And she listens. So I like her a lot. So I'm in a good place with her.
Yeah. Did you find that she's a, not standard, that's not the word I'm thinking of, but was it someone that is counseling who has had a brain issue?
Because that's all I can think to call it.
But is it someone specific?
No, it's not. However, you know, she used to work with children a lot. So a lot of the things that I tell her, even aside from my brain tumor, she's like, wow, go to therapy. Yeah. 9-year-old Garrett.
She must be sad to see that you didn't get the help.
Yeah. And that's something that I'm sad about too. And I'm going through that morning loss. I've been taking into drinking an extra glass of wine at night with my dinner and trying to ease those pains. But I'm through therapy also talking about that, and hopefully we'll accept it and be happy with myself and be who I am and who I'm becoming and where I plan to go.
I think it's really great that you're doing it, because not everyone wants to say it, or not even say it, but do it, because they feel like you're in some way you failed what you're as a human. But it's not true. Counseling, it's not even counseling. Talking to somebody is so therapeutic.
And getting that validation, I've been invalidated a lot in my life. Being in therapy, I'm getting the validation that I've been longing for.
Do you think it's where something's happened, we haven't told somebody this is the problem I've got, we've all just carried on, it's all building up and it's hard, but we haven't quite said it, so it's not been spoken out, it's just in your head, and then you'll just end up going into a spiral of, oh, I don't like myself.
Exactly. I never considered myself a brain tumor survivor until last week. Like, these are things that never really clicked to me. I'm a survivor. I am, but I never thought about that until last week. I didn't have that validation until recently.
Yeah, it's a massive change to your life.
Yeah. And I am better off than most people, or a lot of people that have had brain surgery. Like, I wasn't cancerous. I wasn't on the verge of dying or anything like that.
No, but
so,
you've
like,
had
a
life-changing...
in a bunch of ways.
Oh, yeah, but you've had a life-changing experience that has changed your life. Do you think that because it happened to you so young that you wouldn't have known any different, or actually know you're fully aware of the things that you weren't able to do that other people could as a child?
I think as a child, I was able to ignore it more because there wasn't much I needed to do with both my hands, except for I was playing sports. So like when I had my surgery, in the middle of being a baseball player, I was in like Little League in my hometown, and I went from being able to catch a ball in my right hand and throw it with my left to having to catch the ball with my left hand, throw the glove off, pick up the ball, and then throw it again with my left hand.
Yeah.
It's like I had to stop playing baseball.
I saw you said that about you have had to change your writing hand and the dominant side. So my dad recently, he decided to jump off a boat. I was on holiday with him and he decided to be cool. He's 75. Decided to jump off the boat to be like, wait, look at me. But he dislocated his shoulder. Anyway, so he won't be doing it again. But for 6 months, he had to use his other hand and he struggled with that. It's not easy. So as a child, what was that like?
I went to occupational therapy and that's where I learned how to write again and how to do a lot of things with my left hand. And that's where I tried to learn how to redo things with my right hand as well. But I didn't really have a way of coping with that as a kid. And I think that's why I had a lot of outbursts in public and in private. People have deemed me as this angry, emotional person from a young age. And they're just like, that's just how Garrett is. That's who he is. And that's not who I am. I just didn't get the support I needed when I needed it. One of my neurologists in my life, I had a bunch of neurologists. It was a revolving door for a while where I would just get a new neurologist and new one. but only one of them asked me about my mental health. But at the time, I was with my mom in that appointment, and I don't really, at that time also, I didn't really talk to my mom about my mental health situation. So I wasn't really open about how I felt. I was like, oh no, I'm fine. I'm okay. Can't move my dog. But I feel like if more people asked me that question, or if more people notice that I'm just saying, yeah, I'm fine, just to answer the question.
Yeah.
Then I would have gotten the help that I needed.
Yeah. Do you still have scans?
MRI scan? I'm supposed to go yearly, but I didn't go for 7 years. It was when I started going into like my depression phase. And I was like, I'm just going to ignore everything and just try and ignore my life. And then I moved to California. And when I moved to California, it took me a while to get a neurologist. And then when I got the neurologist, they didn't really mention getting another MRI. So I was like, I'll just ignore it. I don't like MRI. It's because I'm claustrophobic. So I'm not going to go begging for one.
Mm. Yeah.
But then I just recently switched insurance plans. And the first thing my doctor was like, let's get you an MRI. I was like, all right.
Okay, you've got me.
I had one last month and everything's good. They said that they saw the tumor still there, but it doesn't look like it's growing or anything like that. So I should be all set to go for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Do you ever worry about that, or you're just more focusing on trying to sort out your mental state and feeling a bit better about yourself?
Well, I worry about it every day.
Do you?
Yeah, one of the things that is the center of my depression, and it's something that I think about at night when I'm by myself and the day is over, there are certain aspects that I'm not okay with that I haven't, you know, accepted. And there are times that I wish that when I was on the operating table, that was the last time I took a breath. And that's something that I've been thinking for years. So those are some of those things that are hard for me to face, but I do talk to my therapist about them.
And that's going to help you. Speaking to someone is going to help you. And I'm glad that you've been able to find someone now. And it's just such a shame that it's taken so long for that to happen. At least you're on the path now to getting your mind back to loving yourself. Like, even if you, I don't know, do we love ourselves as a kid? I don't know. But, well, I don't know. Most kids are like, I'm amazing. But yeah, it'd be nice.
Right.
It's nice to know that you've got something at the moment that, and I really love that you're doing the nature stuff. Like, that's going to also really help massively.
Yeah. I love to be active. That's why I'm so thankful for California Gay Adventures. I've made so many great friends, but even still to this day, like, I push some of them away with my anger and with my emotions because I can't control them.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And I'm learning how to now, and I'm not at all using it as an excuse, but it's still something that I haven't figured out how to do yet. And some people have been really patient and understanding with me and have talked me through certain things when I would lose it.
If someone came up to you and said, I've had a brain tumor and they're 8 years old or 10 years old, what would you say to them as a child? What would you have liked to have been said to you?
To not give up on yourself and to ask for help when you need it. Because you're going to feel different and you're not going to understand how to cope with certain things. And you need to learn how to use those. You need to learn tools and to use those tools so you can progress with your life. Find someone you can talk to that you're comfortable with.
I think that's really important that somebody as a child is to go and speak to somebody. Don't just try and just be the good kid. Say something, because if you don't, you could come down 20 years later and still have some problems from it because you just didn't get a chance to talk about it back then, and things could have been, may have been different for you if you had the chance to speak to somebody.
Yeah, I fully agree. And it led to a lot of poor choices and angry outbursts and fights with people. And I think a lot of it was because I wasn't comfortable with myself.
Yeah.
And I'm still not really comfortable with myself. I don't like that I limp. Some people will say, oh, I didn't know that you have a limp, or you can't tell. But then there's other times where I'll just be walking and someone be like, oh, hey, why are you limping? And then I have to be like, oh, I'm just tired or my leg hurts. I make up some excuse. Yeah. So I'll be like, well, I have a brain tumor.
I went to see a family member. He'd never met my husband before. My husband has a limp. So he said, what's going on with your knee? Did you have an injury? I just know that the minute my husband brought him, the reason was, I just know he would wish he could crawl underneath the rock over on the left. My husband, he just laughed. He was just, because we both knew that this guy was going to feel bad.
Man, oh, I should start doing that to people when they ask me like questions. That's an inappropriate question to ask somebody while you're living. Yeah. Even if you're just trying to be like caring, kind or whatever.
Yeah, just reword
it. Don't ask somebody why they're limping.
That's no. Exactly, right. Exactly. Or at least be aware that it's not all about you've gone and tripped or had an accident. It's be careful when you speak right. to somebody. You have no idea what's going on with them. But because all you right. end up is in a situation like...
And then if they point it out, then I'm very in my head. I'm like, oh, great. Now everyone can see that I'm limping. So I try and change the way that I'm walking or something. And
yeah.
then I'm thinking about, are they seeing that I'm not really doing anything with my right arm? Are they seeing that my right arm is smaller than my left arm? And I start thinking about all those things and it makes me spiral a little bit.
Yeah. I do think though, a lot of the times we think people are noticing stuff and they're actually not, they're not really looking at us. I think we think of it's it true. Bigger than it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like my speech, if I cannot I find a word. Yeah, if I cannot find a word, I'm always like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to say it. And I want to find mm-hmm. that word. But most of the time, someone just jumps in and says the word for me. I'm like, okay, there right. we go. Thanks.
Thanks for that one.
Yeah, we are so aware. Other people are not that aware of what we're even thinking is a problem. So I think we'd make it bigger than it is, which is just makes it even harder. If you could say thank you to anybody, if there was someone you could just say thank you, even your counselor.
There are people now in my life that I want to say thank you to, like my current therapist, Monica, my other therapist before Monica, who was Deborah at the LGBT Center. Deborah is the one that opened my eyes to there might be something wrong and it's correlated to my brain. And then Monica's been very helpful with me throughout everything I've been telling her and giving me the validation that I'm looking for. And then, of course, Chris, the leader of California Gay Adventures. He's done a lot to inspire me as a person and to help me feel comfortable with myself. So I want to thank him, definitely.
Hope we can stay friends. You said you don't yeah. know tons of people with brain tumors. You now know me. And stay in touch. I'm always here.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
This is the Auntie Anne Brain Tumors Talk Show. It's a show full of informative chat and inspirational messages. The Auntie Anne Brain Tumors Talk Show on podcast.